With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa. Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you listening. Happy Monday. Mike Bell's back in the saddle again after a nice vacay. It's good to see you. You came in, Randy Mack was like, man, you got a little sun over there, huh?
Yeah, because you're on the Costa del Sol, which means the coast with the sun.
So. Oh, I know that song. So. Coming to my planet, so.
No, not that soul. Solid. Oh. Anyway, yeah, a lot of beer, a lot of ham, a lot of shenanigans. More on that coming up at 5:40, including a near international incident at Madrid Airport with yours truly.
Ooh, cannot wait. For all of you Game of Thrones fans, we've been playing Game of Thrones sound bites throughout the course of the afternoon. Craig, behind the glass, our engineer.
Without giving away too much of the story, although yeah. you said the moratorium is over because the show is over.
Well, here's the deal. If you are into your show, all right, last night Veep was on, season finale, yeah. Okay? If you're a Veep fan, you watched it. When it gets to this point, you're going to watch. You're going to find a way to watch. There are people who took off last night. There are people who lied and didn't go to work. Okay? Because they wanted to see the season finale, and for that matter, the show's finale. So this whole thing about us going, well, we normally give you 48 hours to let everybody catch up. Not today. Not today with the finale. The world watched last night.
It's all over.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. But Craig's still taking a knee because all mics matter. And Bo Morgan, executive producing the show today. Hey, we're going to talk about the Braves as part of our strong arm story of the day. They do make a move, which we will explain, all right, and what it means. Paul Byrd really helped us kind of understand where this team is right now as they start a West Coast trip tonight. It's Mike Soroka. More about that coming up here on the program. But what's going on with the Falcons? OTA starts today. It's just a couple of days. This is part of that offseason regiment we talk about. Organized, by the way, for those who do not know, organized team activities, which is OTAs. And we'll get to, at some point, you know, the mandatory mini camp, Mike, which is where everyone is expected to be there.
Right. Now, as we know, last year we had some fun with it, with Where's Julio and all that, but Julio is not part of the OTAs because, as Carl...
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Said Julio is not part of the... Because, again, it's not an MTA.
Where is Julio?
Stop that, Craig.
Come on now. We're not going there. We're not going there.
But, well, Dear Orlando Ledbetter at the AJC earlier today posted a very entertaining blog about the Falcons. He says, like much of the NFL, closely monitoring Antonio Brown's renegotiated contract and will likely set the bar for wide receiver contracts. Mm. Julio got a bump last year and then he's going to get another bump this year. He's got 2 years left on his deal. Salaries of $9.6 million this year. He's scheduled to make $11.4 million next year, which he'll never see because they'll redo the deal. But Brown's new deal averages $18 million, as Dela points out. Falcons will likely have to double Julio's base salary and grant a 2 or 3 year extension to lessen the cap hit. I don't imagine what, Labor Day?
Yes. This will go down between now and the start of the season. Now, I actually think it gets done before camp, simply because you want him in camp. And if I'm Julio and I know I have a new deal looming, okay, and I don't sign a new deal, why would I be at camp? So I'm going to wait until this all gets done. And if the Falcons are smart, and we know they are, they'll get this done before camp starts, and we'll probably be the last day, Mike's kind of thing, and we'll see him first day.
And whatever leverage Thomas Dimitroff and the Falcons would have had went out the window when Arthur said, Grady, Jarrett, and Julio will be Falcons for life.
Yeah.
Will you stop Grady?
Okay, would you stop it?
Now, again, there's dudes that are injured that are banged up that we don't need to see just yet. Guys that are coming off interim deal, thus mitigating a lesser cap hit for the season, which still, not that they would go in Carl B. Spenders, because there'll be guys that are cut in August and you maybe plug in some emergency players. Their team is here. They're roster.
Where is the pass rush?
Okay, would you come on?
A valid question. I have no idea.
Come on. Wait a minute. We're not even in season yet.
Our pass rush is going to be called scoring 35 points a game. We are going to replicate 16. Dan has assured us, Carl, he's assured us of this. He is going to unlock the riddle wrapped in an enigma that is Vic Beasley.
Yes, he has. And by the way, I mean, it is a legitimate question, but I mean, Mick Voice is already on his game. I mean,
where is the offense?
Okay, you know what? Hold on.
We're feeling good about the offense. And granted, Julio didn't have a touchdown the first 7 weeks last year with Dirk Cutter here.
Why'd you have to throw that in there?
Just because it's a fact. Dirk Cutter and the offense will have this offense fired up. We'll be scoring more points. We won't be losing games like the Bengals games last year.
Where is defense.
Okay, listen, we were banged up. The guys are coming off of injury. They're going to be ready for camp.
Right. Now, Keanu Neal's not 100% yet. Debo did play, but it's nice to see. There's some guys we want to see ice up, son.
Ice up.
Don't have to be out there.
Yeah.
And again, with Julio, we had some fun last year with Julio. And needless to say, aside from those 7 weeks where he didn't score a touchdown, the second half of the season came on like gangbusters, and he put up another great year.
Yeah.
Where is the coaching?
They're gone.
Well, hold on. No,
they're gone.
No, the coaching. We got enough coaches. We need two team pictures.
No.
They got enough coaches on this staff, Carl. They're going to have a fold-out in the program for all the guys that are coaching this year.
They've changed coaching staffs for the most part. Dan got rid of all his coordinators. So to answer your question, Big Voice, there is a change in the air, and Dan said the compass was off, so he made a change. The coaches are gone.
Is everybody?
Okay. You know what? You know what?
Now you've gone to the point. Now you're just being silly, Mr. Voice.
It is our Falcon Report. It's brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Right now, a great deal, and it's for a limited time to the end of this weekend, and especially with all the big sporting events around Memorial Day. Get on it! But it's a large two topping pizza, $5.99, only good for carryout. Get all the details at Domino's.com.
Jaleesa says, Dukes and Bell, we're not doing this. We're not doing this again.
No, well, at least we're not just cherry picking Julio. We give you an entire variety. Carl, of things we're looking for this offseason.
Now, listen, we're just having some fun, and you know it's always fun until somebody gets hurt. So I'm not concerned. I'm telling you guys, again, and this is so crazy because I feel like, you know, like I'm explaining this to a five-year-old kid sometimes. Sit down. Let me tell you exactly why we were upset.
Right.
We had a guy coming off of an injury and a coordinator saying he didn't get a chance to work with him in mini camp and OTAs and all this stuff, and he really didn't know how to use him. Well, I think it was obvious, to Mike's point, that the first seven games, our guy didn't catch a touchdown. That's why we wanted him involved with all this stuff. At the end of the day, okay, it didn't kill us. Julio did his job, and ultimately he balled out, and we said, give him a new contract, and that's what they're going to do. But you can't tell me we're at our best when our best players are not getting the reps.
Right, and if you guys, you remember why were Mike and Carl so angry about this offseason? Well, how the hell did the season end 2 years back? We're in Philly. We couldn't get it done in the red zone.
And the start of the new season.
Exactamundo. So that was part of, you know, and again, all you go, but look, Sark, I thought Sark became the, I got to be honest, he was a scapegoat on this. He was totally in over his head in 17. 18, Matt Ryan had career numbers passing despite the fact he had no protection and no run game. And Sark gets got, and I'm not no problem with Cutter coming in because Dirk knows all the guys. We'll get more out of these guys. We've upgraded offensive line, Carl. We beefed up. Now the big question is, will iron sharpen iron?
Get
and
better.
We'll see some great competition at the tackle and the guard position. Other than Jake Matthews, we got a bunch of guys battling this year, and hopefully the rookies, because you don't draft guys in the first round twice. You got to go see these guys do something and hopefully earn those starting gigs.
Now, I am watching a video of Matt Ryan throwing the ball to Sanu. Nice catch, Sanu. Get you one on the first day of OTAs. I said this earlier. There are a lot of guys like Sanu and Hoop, and there's a bunch of guys that maybe you wouldn't expect to be there that are there. This is part of their regiment. They want to get the work in, and that's fine. Julio is in a different situation, though, with this contract, and this probably, Mike, I'm going to say that again, probably being his last – one, right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, and this is why we talked about this earlier in the show, and I do harp on it a bit because I think it's going to be a major sticking point between the ownership and the players when the next CBA comes up. Owners, and it's not just with Julio, but owners don't give contracts to have to keep adjusting those contracts on the fly every other year. In Julio's case, he had a contract. 3 years left, he got more money. And then 2 years, again, this year he's going to get a new deal. It just owners at some point are going to push back on that, especially the way Antonio Brown kind of forced his way out of Pittsburgh, the way the Le'Veon Bell thing went down, where the tail's wagging the dog in the mind of the owners.
It is. But, you know, when the whole AB thing went down, and I said this, the superstars of this league, and for that matter, any league, okay, they've always done this. Superstars have always forced the hand of owners to make a move, and then ultimately they get what they want, which is whether it's a destination or the paycheck they want.
Right.
We're talking about, I'm going to tell you guys, this is going to sound crazy. We might be talking about 10 to 12 guys in the NFL that could do that. Seriously. You know, for example, if Andrew Luck walked in today and said, I'm out, I'm done with the Colts would be forced to make a move. He has that kind of clout to do that. Not everybody does. The third-string offensive lineman doesn't have that clout. He's going to get paid and do what they ask him to do. So I just think Julio's in that special, unique category that Mike, he could kind of force the hand here. We didn't like it. I know you guys, some of you guys didn't like it, but it is what it is. And, you know, hopefully all that we get out of this is a great performance from him over the next few years.
The dudes that are at the OTAs, obviously the rookies, as we said, like a sponge, trying to soak up everything about the new NFL level of the play that they're now expected to do, including a guy named Kendall Sheffield that we talked about. There's an article from Vaughn McClure at ESPN.com. Please unblock me, Vaughn. Can't we be friends? Can't we all get along? Anyway, Vaughn writes in this article that here's a guy that really had, you know, maybe second round, some would say first round earlier in his college career potential, and then obviously he had some issues. But Kendall Sheffield had the arm injury at the combine. Here's a dude who can be a leader, was a leader at Ohio State. Believe I was a first round pick. I'm ready to prove everyone else that I am a first round pick. So there's a guy, like, don't we all want a dude to have a bit of a chip on his shoulder and an edge? So here's a guy who's going to come in and fight and hopefully be a major contributor in the secondary.
Yeah. I want to see. I am excited about how they're going to feature, and I'm quoting Dan Quinn here because he likes to use that word, how they feature some of these new pieces that we have. And, you know, Mike, one of the areas we haven't spent a whole lot of time on, and we got, you know, all summer, but what's the special teams going to look like now? And are we going to be a better special teams unit across the board, whether it's punt, kickoff is kickoff. But we got to get better at that than we have been over the last few years. And that's one of the reasons why I think Coach Armstrong, who did a great job for us, but he's no longer here.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, the special teams did tail off. And whether that was a part of, you know, the roster he was given to play with, but we weren't getting any return action. And we gave up some big plays. You know, we gave up way too good field position. We moved in and we signed Kenyon Barner. When you look at Sheffield, and for those who don't remember the story from the combine, this is a kid who was he was going to go to Alabama, right? Because he wound up at Ohio State. He's got 4.25 40 speed.
Ooh, wait!
I mean, I know that we don't expect anything in the kickoff game, but wouldn't you love to see him back there as a punt return man? Let's see what these guys can do. If you throw in, you know, Alford had great speed, but unfortunately he would never trust his technique at the moment of truth, Carl, when the ball arrived.
Yeah.
This guy made big plays for Ohio State. I'm not saying he was a first-round talent, but he believes that there's a lot of doubters out there he wants to prove wrong. So let's see what this guy can do.
Your chance to win $1,000 coming up here with our national signing bonus contest. Had a guy ask me over the weekend because he knew OTAs were starting, and he said, what do you
Where? Think? Is the touchdowns.
Okay. Hopefully they come. Okay. Hopefully they come.
I mean, again, I mean, like, I love Julio as much as you guys do. It's just, you know, if you're one of the best stars in the league, you can't go over 7 weeks without a TD. I mean, he can't throw the ball to himself. He can't dial up the play for himself, but no, still, Carl.
No, but if you have Julio Jones, you throw him to him a lot, right? Don't you? I mean, he should have, like, I don't know, 20 attempts.
I mean, with the Migos playing quarterback, you probably have one touchdown in the first 7 weeks.
But he asked me, he said, what do you think about us winning the division? Too early. Are we a contender? Yes. But it's too early for us to say, yeah, we should win this division. Right now, as much as it pains me, it's the Saints division, guys.
It all goes to New Orleans. I'm with you 100%. But we've beefed up the O-line. Defense, again, getting healthy, Carl. You know, that we didn't really do much on the defensive tackle. I think a lot of guys expected us to go get a tackle in the draft. We did add a lot of bodies in rotation. We are literally emulating almost exactly the 2016 business model. We're going to try to outscore guys and help the defense of the pass rush the way Chuck Smith told us all the way back in February.
Let's give you a chance right now to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Why did I just do that like I was on a game show? Snow. Snow is the word. S-N-O-W. Snow.
Oh, you mean like Informa?
Oh, yeah. That was a good song. 72881. That's 72881. That's the number you need to text Snow to.
Snow, man. Get it on to 72881. We got one more chance in the 6 o'clock hour. 5 o'clock word is snow. Win some money from us right now.
What'd you say, Craig? Snow bunnies? 72881 is the word. Hey, coming up, we got our strong arm story of the day next. Remix! This is the song Mike was talking about. Not the original.
Yes, this song.
The new version.
This was all over the place in Spain, man. In Barcelona, in Ibiza. This was hot. So this is who is this? Sings this, Craig, since you can't speak on. This is Daddy Yankee, Carl. But the millennials out there, the original was
with Katy Perry, Mike.
Yeah, her too. The original was a one-hit wonder from Canada, and that was Snow, because Snow is the word for the $1,000 this hour, which got us the original.
That's the original.
But the one they're playing in Spain's got a little Spanish flavor. Yeah. And it's a hot track, man. People are digging it.
Real!
remix.
All right, man.
What's old is new again.
No doubt about it. Hey, real quick, you're going to hear Jason Longshore coming up in less than an hour from now talking about Atlanta United. I was frustrated on many levels simply because we had an advantage, a 10-man Bulls, Red Bull squad for over 55 minutes of this match, Mike. And to have that advantage, we weren't able to do anything with it. On top of that, the whole thing with Tito at the end of the match in stoppage time was very frustrating with Kimmer Lawrence and Wall went down. I just think it intensified what is already now, and whether we want to realize it or not, it's a rivalry. This is a rivalry. We've had our issues with the Red Bulls. We've beaten them as well, but this is definitely a rivalry.
Right, and there's a lot of guys talking nonsense on that lineup. And look, Kamara Lawrence, he was talking some stuff, saying, when I want to be on the field, they can't beat us. Well, we beat you when it mattered in the playoffs. You know, and Red Bull fans, they're the bunch of – talk about trolls on Twitter.
The big time.
Yeah, they do such a great job supporting that team. They got a giant tarpaulin over one of the behind-the-goal areas. You know, it looked like there's about 20,000 people there. And look, we got it done. We were clutch. We found a way. Their coach out-coached himself when we got on top of those guys in the first leg last year. And then we played keep away in Jersey. It's a team you want to beat because, as Jason will tell you, it's become a real rivalry. Like, yes, we're not going to compare ourselves to the Premier League, but it's one of those things where we hate those guys with the Red Bulls. Their fans talk a lot of jive. They're a chippy team. They're physical. And Tito gets into it at the end. But the problem is, Carl, when you go a man down, teams just now start bunkering, which is something we struggle with. I thought in the first half, we should have scored some goals in transition because they want to come and attack us. That's when we can use our athleticism. Now we can get on the counter. And unfortunately, as a fan, when you have a team like we've got with the kind of firepower we have, that's a real drag. I don't know what's more disappointing, United's match or that Game of Thrones.
Well, Game of Thrones, hands down. Tito, by the way, trolling New York Red Bulls fans. I love this, holding up the trophy as if he's holding up the MLS trophy as he walked off the field.
Yeah, I had a couple of guys on Twitter earlier last year. I was like, do you have one of these? It was on one of our MLS championship hats. Or you get a jersey. Do you have a star over your logo? Yeah, that's right, you don't.
No, you don't have one of those. Hey, you'll hear Jason Longshore coming up. All hell brand, Mike.
Yeah, great. The most uncompelling character on the show. Don't get me started. No, whoever wants to watch Game of Thrones over the last 8 years to find out what Bran was doing? If anything, it was a storyline that no one cared about, and it was uncompelling.
Here's the thing about Bran, and we'll talk more about this in case you missed it. Also, my idiot move over the weekend.
Oh, no, I think I trumped you.
You think so?
We'll find out. Carl and I both did something stupid, and we want you to judge us on
yes,
it coming up.
Yes, please. Bran turned out to be the student in class who does nothing all year and ends up getting an A+. That's what happened with Bran last night on Game of Thrones. Let's get to our strong arm story of the day.
And who has a better story than Bran the Broken?
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
It's the Atlanta Braves, man, and the Braves make a deal today. Anthony Swarzak, he comes in.
Who?
Anthony Swarzak, 5.27 ERA, 13 2/3 innings of work, 33. I guess it'll be 34, as our man, Paul Byrd said here. Either way, you're going, what are we getting, Dukes and Bell? Well, I'm glad you asked.
What are we getting?
You're getting a 10-year vet who's been with six now. This will be his seventh team.
I think it's eight, including a team in Korea.
That's probably true. He is a guy that's been around the major leagues, knows what's expected of him. He is, in essence, this is it, another late-inning option.
Now, we had some Braves fans earlier on our text line brought to you by our buddies at Salmon Brothers. They were saying, I can't believe we cut bait on Vizcaino. Paul Byrd said, look, he had that same injury. It takes you out for a year. And if you're not on the field, you're not helping me win. So, look, we all wanted to see the next hopefully we thought it was going to be like our version of Mariano Rivera or Rocker or Wohlers or whatever, but it's not happening. So he can try it with another team. He's now a walking, MASH unit. So you get rid of Vizcaino. You've already had a guy in Biddle that was designated for assignment, Carl. You're ready to cut bait. And you've also got the Mariners, apparently. We don't know how much exactly, but the Braves got cash to help offset this guy's $8.5 million salary, according to our buddy Dave O'Brien with The Athletic. So a journeyman, big, tall right-hander, hopefully beef it up, and it's costing you basically next to nothing.
And I'm fine with that. I've said this. I've seen guys like this come into clubhouses and help solidify a bullpen.
Like Brack helped us last year.
That's right. Brock. Brock it was, right?
I always think Brack from, Space Ghost.
It was, yeah. Yeah, Brock helped us. But then I've seen guys come in, Mike, and 2 weeks later they're not on the team anymore. I don't know where this is going to go, but I do commend the Braves for trying to, first of all, move a couple of guys that were not going to help you. And two, maybe get something in return with a guy that can. So let's see what Swarzak can do.
Now, we talked about this earlier because I know you guys are just getting your cars now at 5:30. In retrospect, would you have rather had them let Camargo play third and then you bring in Austin Riley for contract control when they did, and then you could have spent $23 million on better arms for the bullpen? No disrespect to Josh Donaldson, who's been doing well, not hitting for average this year for the Braves, but Austin Riley, I mean, this is a guy that's always been here in the pipeline. In retrospect, I mean, geez, we could have probably done it a different way, couldn't we?
Yeah, but part of that is I don't think the team realized or thought that Austin Riley would be ready for the bigs.
You can't keep him on the farm forever.
No, but I think that they were more inclined to say, hey, get the reps down there, get your at-bats. All of a sudden, he's killing it, and he can't be denied. If you knew that going into the offseason, yeah, I think it changes your whole decision-making process. Either way, they're still doing the right things. Think about this. They're not going, well, we got to wait. They brought the kid up. He's raking, and he's in the lineup. And so, you know, he got his first start at third base yesterday. Listen, he struck out three times. So what? I don't care about that. He's going to go through his lumps. But he's already shown you in his first four games what he's capable of. Mm. And I think there's more of that in him than there is the opposite, Mike, which is, oh, this guy's going to be a bust, and he's going to come up here, and it'll be short term.
The big surprise for us is now the average. We'll get off. I'm not obsessed on the 250 for Dansby. Dansby tied for the lead with Ronald Acuna and Freddie Freeman with 29 RBIs. So, you know, Dansby, you know, again, we complain sometimes about the glove, you know, because if he's not going to hit, you know, 275, at least be the gold glove shortstop. But Dansby, Freddie, you saw it over the weekend with the home runs, just amazing stuff. And Donaldson's got 21 RBI. So this is so many things to be excited about. If he can just go augment the bullpen, find out who you got, the guys are, Carl, that you could say it's time to move on from in the minors, that you've been shuttling back and forth between Gwinnett and Atlanta, and go do some serious moves. Because as bad as this division's been, the Braves are still just 2.5 behind Philly.
Yeah, that's the good news. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our strong arm story of the day. And for better or worse, this bullpen, and I'm saying it now, we're not even to June 1st. I was going to save this, but there's no reason to. This bullpen will take us as far or as...
this team will go only as far as this bullpen will take us,
well,
right?
Yes, but I'm trying to rephrase it, Mike, and say, you know, there's a chance here if we do something significant at the trade deadline that it could completely retool the bullpen and change my outlook. As of right now, yes, we're only going to go as far as this bullpen will take us.
Like, unless they think Darren O'Day is going to come in. Remember, he was part of the trade.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. He was part of the trade that got us Gausman. Said earlier, by the way, kudos to Julio Teheran doing exactly what we expect him to do. ERA is actually down. You know, he's actually grinding. He's leading the team in innings pitch, so he's eating up innings for you. But if O'Day does get healthy, and we asked Paul Bird, and he had no idea when O'Day is going to appear for the Braves.
I don't know if anybody does.
I don't know if Alex Anthopoulos does. But the good news is you're still grinding with a – if you actually had a bullpen that was competent early in the year, you'd be leading the Phillies by 2 or 3 games.
Probably. Hey, man, big shout-out to Freddie Freeman as well as we talk Braves. Thursday, deep. Friday, deep. Saturday, walk-off home run.
That's one way to beat the shift, right?
Oh, man. And, yeah, it was off Hader, by the way, one of the best closers. We talked about that on Friday. And then on Sunday, he also goes deep, guys. Four consecutive games. First time in his career he's ever done that. Plus, he hits home run number 200. So, Freddie, as we like to say right now, is seeing the ball well.
Man. What do you take from the Foltynewicz performance? He is a guy that doesn't like to eat because he gets so amped up on his start day. He made Snicker look kind of foolish. We later found out it's because he was getting dizzy because he was getting hot in the heat. He hadn't eaten. Folty only gave up a few hits. Two of them go over the fence. But do you see the improvement you wanted to see from Foltynewicz?
I did. This was as close as we've seen to Folty last year all season long. By far his best outing. Let's hope he can build on it. Hey, we'll come back. I was an idiot. Mike was an idiot. That makes two idiots. You judge.
So our new king has chosen to send you to the Night's Watch.
There's still Night's Watch.
News for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Paul Crane, thank you. Great job, sir. We will talk to you tomorrow. Top 3 at 6 coming up.
That guy's a pro's pro, Carl.
That he is. Also, we've got our interview with Jason Longshore that you will get a chance to hear about Atlanta United and what went down over the weekend against the Red Bulls. All right, we're going to give you our version of In Case You Missed It. Mike, back off of vacation, guys. We've been filling in some of the blanks, some of the things, and we'll do it all week. You know, we can't get to all the stories. It is a big show, but we can't, and so we've been sharing a little bit of today. Now, I want you to tell your idiot story first. I will tell my idiot story,
okay,
and then we will let them judge.
Right on. Now, we said this earlier because we know we got loyal listeners, and we love you guys when you buy our beer and you tweet the pictures. We love interacting with you on the text line when we can. So we never want to, like, talk like, a bunch of snobs. Like, I got to take this great trip. I always preface that I am blessed that I...
you don't have to explain anybody, Mike. You don't have to explain it.
I worked with a guy who used to talk about his vacations, and sometimes, Carl, it sounded a little condescending.
Yeah.
So I like to try to at least frame it in the position that... Think of me as a guy that wins the lottery every week, and I just spend the money like a drunken sailor or an NBA free agent.
That's fair. But I will say this, and I think about you all the time because I know you're very conscious of this. You've earned everything you've got.
Damn right. So, yes, in answer to your question, Carl, Formula One in Barcelona, partying on the beach, the hottest club and hotel in Ibiza, and then bullfighting in Madrid with a gourmet chef serving up fantastic steaks.
All right, you know what?
Yes,
that does kind of sound like it's elitist. But
I was in the world's most expensive hotel in the Mediterranean, and by God, it was, you know what you did?
What?
I ran into a Formula One driver in the elevator, some club DJ, some Russian supermodel. So, yes, I enjoyed the hell out of my vacation.
Thank you very much. That's what I'm talking about.
Right on. So, great trip. Wrapped it up in Madrid. My wife and I get to the airport, and we go through security, and then I realize, oh, crap, I left my phone in the taxi.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and again, you guys know how phones are your life these days, all your like today, I can't get on Twitter because I can't get my verification on my phone for the codes and stuff.
Yep.
So I call immediately my cab driver. I call my phone hoping the cab driver is going to hear the phone ringing on the back seat where I left it. So after a few attempts, finally I get through to the cab driver who doesn't speak English, and I speak about 10 words in Spanish. So I got my iPad out to the translation, English to Spanish. So here I am looking like a mental patient yelling in the airport terminal, can you come back to the aeropuerto? You know, please, oh, come back, oh, el aeropuerto. And so he's gonna loop around. We've already gone through customs. Now we got to find a way to get back to the curbside. And so we go and we're looking and people give us some help. And we go down a hallway and through a door that was not supposed to be open. Next thing you know, we find ourselves in a totally unsecured area that's not supposed to be for tourists, or a secured area that isn't for people flying.
Oh.
And neither that, we can't find anything. We can't find up. We can't find down. The signs are all in Spanish. My wife's freaking out.
You're going to miss your flight.
So now I'm calling the guy going, we can't get outside of the airport. So eventually I got the guy to take the phone back to the hotel where we stayed. So at least I know where my phone is.
Okay. And the hotel, they do have it.
And they have it.
Okay.
Now it's $500,000 to ship it back. So I think we're just going to call AT&T and get a new phone. So in the meantime, though, Carl, thank God we found a way through, and there was a Spanish security person who literally guided us up to where we needed to be, totally understood, spoke good English. So there was not an international incident because we were literally lost in the bottom of Madrid airport like Bruce Willis in Die Hard 2. So that was my stupidity. What was yours?
Well, first of all, I'm glad because we know what it's like to lose a phone, Shaq.
Right. You feel like a lost puppy.
It's the worst.
But I always get the insurance, which is worth getting. Yeah. So, you spend $100, you get a new phone. So that's where it's at.
And in today's day and age, as long as your phone is locked, and I did not know this because, again, you think, like, what are they going to do with it? For you phone thieves out there, all they do, if anything, if people steal your phone, is they use the parts.
Right.
But as far as getting into your account, unless your phone's unlocked, but if it's locked,
right,
they're blank out of luck. So you get the new phone and you get all your stuff on the cloud and you're good to go.
And the hotel was helpful. They were really cool and they spoke some broken Spanglish. But there's all sorts of rules about shipping stuff. And I think it's because those Samsung phones blow up.
They do.
They don't like.
Or they did. They did.
They don't want to. Anyway, new phone. Now, what did you do?
All right. So every year, our agent throws a great party. And every year, he's insistent that you RSVP and let him know. And he represents a variety of people from around the country. And we all get together once a year, and we have this blowout party.
Our agent looks like Larry David meets Ben Franklin.
Yeah, and he does a great job. He caters it. It's amazing, okay? So he's been asking me for the last, 2 months, you RSVP'd yet? Yes, I RSVP'd, Norm. Have you RSVP'd? Yes, I RSVP'd. So Saturday, we were out. We went golfing late, came back home. My wife says, hey, you know what? Norm's party's tonight. Make sure that you're on time. I said, oh, no problem. I'm going to get ready. Yeah, I'll be there. So we eat dinner, even though he's serving dinner, because I had totally forgot that his party was Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, I'll just go. I'll have some drinks. I'll show my face. Yeah, I'll be late. So 7 turns into 8, 8 turns into 8:30. It's 9 o'clock.
Right. Now you're late for the party.
I roll up to our agent's neighborhood.
A tawny neighborhood in Buckhead.
It's gated. It's closed. Now, in recent years, the neighborhood, and the gate is always open on the night of the party.
Right.
So I drive up, and I'm like, oh, the gate's closed. Well, let me go ahead and call. And there's a list of numbers and names that you can dial. So I don't see his name on the list. So I just push a couple of buttons and dial somebody. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here for the party.
What party?
It's in the neighborhood. It's Mr. Schrutt, Mr. Norm Schrutt.
I don't know any Norm Schrutt.
Hangs up. So now I'm looking at the list, and I'm like, he's not on here. I call on my cell phone.
Right.
Ba-da-ring. You've reached the offices of Norm. Oh, Norm's not answering. Call my wife. I said, what's the date on this party? She says the 18th. I said, are you sure that the gate's closed? There's nobody here? I said, you know what? I'm going to call somebody who would know.
Uh-huh.
So I call Ryan Cameron. Ryan Cameron answers the phone. He's in the movies. He goes, bro, I'm in the movies. What's going on? I said, yeah, it's Norm's party tonight. He just starts laughing at me. It was the wrong night. No one was home. And I'm an idiot because I'm at the gate calling other people's homes trying to get in the damn gate. And I'm literally like, yeah, I'm here for the party. What party, bozo?
The party's a week from Saturday.
Now you tell me.
You got an old invitation on your fridge?
I never checked the updated email. Have you RSVP'd yet? So, no. Oh. You talk about feeling like an idiot.
Oh.
Complete idiot. No one was there.
Oof.
No one was around.
Oh.
And here I am, Mike, trolling people trying to figure out, I don't understand. What's going on?
Dude.
And here, I haven't heard from him yet. He hasn't gotten the message that I left on his answering machine saying, hey, Norm, yeah, I'm outside your neighborhood. Yeah, yeah, I'm trying to get in with the party. What's going on?
So what do you think? You, the wrong party, the wrong date, or me creating an international incident in Barcelona for losing
two
my phone?
Idiots.
Oh, I lost my glasses, too, this weekend.
Oh, did you?
In the club, in Barcelona.
You
Ibiza,
left them?
I bet you left them in the club. I don't know where they went.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm still getting adjusted to my glasses.
So anyway, so this is an expensive trip. I lost glasses and a phone. Yeah, it's some good party fouls right there for you, man. By the way, thanks to our buddies at Oconee. We brought a ton of beer. All the pictures are up at Mike Bell
ATL. I don't know how you got that through customs.
Well, we packed a six-pack and we got the tall boys. Our beer is a hit. If we can find a way to package our beer and sell it in Spain, we'll make a fortune.
By the way, here's some audio of you and Becky as you guys are trying to find your way.
Hey, Coleman!
Yes?
What should we do about lunch? The lobster, the crack, crab.
What do you think?
Can't we have both?
Looking good, Billy Ray.
Feeling good, Lewis.
I had a guy, you know, because you put stuff on social media. Because, again, if you like the show and we like to think you want to know what we're doing, we try to share some stuff. We talk sports and we talk lifestyle. So when I posted a picture of me in a sport coat going out, guys like, what, do you got a job interview over there in Spain? No, you know, in Madrid, you don't dress up like you're going to Hardee's, okay? You got to put a little effort into it because everybody's macking it out over there. At the bullfights, a lot of people were in suits and everything. You had to put some effort into it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, you looked the part. You had a great time. And I'm fascinated with the whole bullfighting thing because I've never been.
Oh.
That's something I've never gotten a chance to do.
We talked about it earlier in the show, and I know there's always people are going to be freaked out that it's a blood sport and it's barbaric and all that. And yes, to a degree, it certainly is, but it is also part of Spanish heritage. And it's one of those things, if you're a guy, you know, like if you're into hunting, I don't think you'd be this freaked out by it, but it's something that it was a spectacle, man. What wasn't a spectacle, and we'll get more into this tomorrow, was the Game of Thrones finale.
Yeah.
Not just the season, this is it. Unless a lot of people say they've left enough, you know, loose ends where they could have some spinoffs.
Yeah, a guy hit me up last night. He was like, it's all about the money. I don't care about that. I always talk about finish a series now. I've spent 6 years, seven actually, of investing into this series. I don't care about spinoffs right now. I want you to finish what we've started. And
now,
that was my issue last night because I was unsatisfied.
Two HBO properties, one that finished last week. I got to watch it this weekend. Veep with Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Unbelievable how funny Veep was about a vice president and her running for president. They nailed it. They went to the future.
Yeah.
And it's just very funny. They showed out what her life would have looked
like. Well, you know what, Mike? They didn't go away from the script of the show. This thing was completely like a different show
last
night.
You agree with me, though, because George Martin, who's still got books to write,
yeah,
they once you lose that source material, the writers are in uncharted territory, and unfortunately, they just sped through the last 2 years too quickly.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, you could say the same thing about The Walking Dead, which was a comic book,
right,
and now they're going their own directions. We got top three at six next.
The decision about what's best for everyone should be left to everyone.
I'll ask my horse.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.